that, but you left me no choice. And man, what a perfect video. I didn't pick it, but for the series we're in right now, we're in week two of a series called In the Meantime. In the meantime is what do you do when there's nothing left that you can do? What do you do when life happens? Some of you are there today. Some of you have been there, and God has delivered you. And if you've never been there, at some point you will be. It's just the way that life is. And that's not discouraging, because greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. And He has overcome this world, so I, and if you know Jesus this morning, you can be of good cheer. You can still have happiness and still have joy. What do you do when you're in the middle of a job situation or an illness? Or maybe it's family struggle, family situation, it's your marriage, it's your kids, it's your job, it's just life. What do you do? First of all, we talked about last week, you need to remember that God is not absent, apathetic, or angry with you. He is not. Don't mistake His silence for His absence. Sometimes these times in life and these events in life just have to happen for our good and for God's glory. I know some of you that your very salvation, your entire eternity, you can trace back to you having went through something traumatic in life that got your attention, and you gave your heart to Jesus because of that. It's always worth it. I can testify in my life, I didn't grow during the great times in life. That's not when I grew. It was always during the times that were just in the meantime, when stuff was going on, when stuff was happening. These times can be great because these are times where God gets our attention and says, hey, remember, this earth is not your home. This body is a temporary tent. It is under sin's curse, and one day you'll have a brand new one for all of eternity that'll be perfect. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And last week, We talked about several things. Remember Peter, who was no kind of stranger to kind of messing up or to stuff happening in life. He said to cast all of our cares upon God, for He cares for us. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says this. It says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal weight of glory that far outweighs them all. And if you're in the meantime this morning, you don't feel like what you're going through is light and momentary at all, do you? Man, it's all you can see and think about. It's consuming. It consumes your thoughts. It consumes your days and your being. But I want to tell you, and I want to talk about today, there is a purpose for it. There are God's promises. Be of good cheer. You want to know what I've heard through the years so often as a pastor, and it just drives me nuts. It's someone will come to church for a few weeks, a big life event happens, and then all of a sudden they'll disappear. And I'll talk to them or I'll see them and I'll say, hey, what's going on? And they'll say, you know what, I tried God. I came to church 3 or 4 weeks and nothing got better. That's why you haven't seen me. Sigh. And it's sad, but it's true. And it's what, listen, Christian who laughed at that, including me, who thought that's a funny story to tell because it's true. We at times can be that way if we're not careful. If you're going through it right now, in the meantime, be of good cheer. If you're not, remember when you were. That's why journaling is important. That's why fasting is important and serious prayer life to bring to remembrance the times you've been going through it and God has brought you out of it. Because man, it is such human nature. I've been through some stuff in life and God has delivered. God has answered prayers and 6 months or 10 years later, yeah, I forget. I forget those desperate heart cries to God that He answered. And it's so easy for us to do that. If you're going through it right now, you don't need me to tell you. You know. And I don't completely understand, but your Lord does. And if He's not your Lord, you have a God who loves you and who wants to deliver you and who wants to heal you and who wants to help you and redeem you. And if you've never been through it, you will be at some point. And sometimes my concern for people in their lives and for Christians is when things are just always good. Or at least you're faking that, because that's dangerous in two ways. If things are always good, how do you grow? Are you just that mature? You're that rare person who continues to grow through great blessings and smooth sailing? Because the second type of individual, that's the danger, is you're not okay. You're not ridding yourself of this sin in your life. You're not growing closer to Christ. You're not serious about your faith, but you sure can look like you are. That's scary. I've been there. I've been that guy. Today we're going to go over a powerful biblical principle. If you live long enough, if you walk with Christ long enough, you will at some point in your life, as you're sharing life, if you are as believers, because that's part of following Jesus, is sharing life with one another, you will see someone go through it. Someone go through the meantime. Someone go through stuff in life that you look as an outsider and say, how in the world are they dealing with that? And they deal with it with such grace and such joy and such positivity and such leaning on the promises of God, as the old song says, and such strength. And you will look at them and you will just ask them and they'll just be like, hey, you know what? His grace is sufficient. They will have an attitude of God is good. He has got this. He's going to pull me through this. You'll look at them and just be like, wow. Can I share something with you guys as your pastor? We've been here almost 6 years now. And let me tell you something. And maybe it's today. You'll never know. Some of you will know because I have you with that relationship in my life because I have to have it. My spouse will know. You probably would have your mind blown if you'd known how many Sundays in these last 6 years I've been in the middle of in the meantime. Stuff that maybe some of you knew about and stuff you had no idea. And you're saying, I would have never known, Pastor. Let me tell you, by the grace of God, and I've still got a long way to go, that's because I know who my God is. I know who I'm following. I know who is for me and not against me. I know what God says about me. I know the promises of His Word. I know this life, good, bad, or ugly, this isn't it. This isn't my home. I know that one day He's coming back. Let me give you a good test of where your heart is. You don't have to be in the middle of the in the meantime. Your life can be better than it's ever been. But if you are in love with Jesus and have a relationship with Him and are truly following Him, it is your heart's desire that He would come back right now. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Things are okay now. Maybe things are bad now, but when He comes back, it's going to be something that our minds can't even begin to understand. And I am looking forward to that. And if you're in the meantime this morning, you're probably really looking forward to that. His grace is sufficient. Sometimes we just have to look at adversity and the things in life as a gift. And you're like, huh? As a gift? Pastor Micah, what I'm going through right now is not a gift. And oftentimes, and in my case, oftentimes, it was my own sin or my own decisions that led to these seasons of life. And if you're here this morning, maybe it is. I mean, everything's always that's wrong in this world always will get traced back to sin at some point, even if it's something you had no doing over. Maybe it's just an illness. Maybe, I don't know, but it will always go back to sin and the brokenness of this world. For some of you, maybe life is just happening. The Bible says, count it all joy. And you want to know one of the things I love about our church, and we still could do better, but that we're authentic and that we are real. And a lot of you know Carl and I, you know our story. Some of you don't, and I won't overshare, but I'll say, let me tell you, I've been through some mean times in life. With our marriage, you know, we've been through a miscarriage like so many of you have. I've been in the meantime when I was stuck in prison. I've been in the meantime when Josie was in the neonatal intensive care unit and they didn't think she was going to live. I've been in the meantime with finances and in our marriage and dry seasons of life and seasons of my own and my wife and my kids. If you're a guest here today, you probably look at the pastor in the decently nice shirt, I guess. And you're thinking, Pastor, you don't know what it's like to go through what I'm going through. You don't know what the meantime. You don't know about this life. You're a pastor. Let me tell you, I know. And the only reason I can stand here and say how good God is because after I know what that was like, I got to know Jesus. And that's it. That's it. There's Bible 101. There's preaching 101. Give your heart and life to Jesus and watch what He'll do. And I mean really, you've got to surrender your everything to Him. It's not just praying a prayer one time or believing He exists. It's knowing that He is your Lord and you're going to live your life for Him. You're going to repent of your sins and follow Him. You're going to follow His Word. In hindsight, I can look and see the incredible growth and plans and purpose that God had in all of that. So if you're in the meantime right now is a time to be of good cheer if you're a follower of Jesus. And if it's not, it's probably time to give Him your heart and life. It's time for all of you and all of us to lean on and lean into Jesus like never before. So today we're going to talk about what Paul had to say about that, about adversity as a gift. If you have your Bibles, if you have your devices, if there's a Bible around you, take notes, do something. Please at least, you know, pay attention. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And what had happened here was Paul had just been given a vision. He had actually been, God had brought him up into, given him a vision of heaven. Now that's never happened. I don't know. That's never happened to me. I'm sure it's never happened to you. The Bible specifically says he was taken into the third heaven. Now listen, if that had happened to me, and Paul talks about in verse, we start in verse 7, he says, "And lest I should be exalted." He says, "Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited," don't read ahead, stay with me. "Therefore, in order to keep from becoming conceited," because guys, can I tell you something? If God had called me into heaven and given me a vision of heaven, I would get conceited. Anytime we had a disagreement, anytime we talked about anything, I would always bring up how I'd got to see heaven. I'd become so arrogant. If my wife and I ever had an argument, "Honey, I really think that we should have dinner here tonight, and tomorrow we should go ahead and get that new car." And she's like, "No, honey, we shouldn't. Don't want to spend the money right now." I'd say, "Honey, stop." I'd say, "I know you feel differently, but can I ask you something? Were you called into heaven?" I'd say, "As one who has seen heaven, now you should trust my wisdom here, honey." I'd be so cocky. Seriously. And so Paul writes to the church and saying, "Hey, God gave this to me, so really they should listen." But then Paul talks about God doesn't want me to become conceited, because when things are too good, we get too much in life. Sometimes we can become conceited. So he goes on to say, "In order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness.' Therefore," listen, "I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Jesus' sake, I delight in weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I am strong." In verse 10, how many of you delight in insults? If we were leaving here today and I just insulted you, well, forget me, because some of you like me. If it was somebody that you're kind of like, they just insulted you. You popped on Facebook as soon as you got to your car because you're addicted and can't wait any longer, like half of you. And you're like, "What's going on? They're talking about me." Oh, would you delight in that? But Paul says you should delight in that. That's a chance to show Jesus to people. That's a chance to not react, to not comment, to not go tell everybody you know what they said or did. It's a chance to overlook an offense, which the Bible says it's to your honor to do that. There's a chance to delight and overlook something that somebody said or did so that you can bring God glory in your life. So whatever you're struggling with today, in the meantime, if you're there today, don't become angry. Don't become bitter. Don't play the blame game or buy the lies. How about if you know Jesus, you boast? You're like, "Thanks, God. You're gonna work this out. I can't wait to see on this end of it how you work it out." And you know the ultimate people that God uses to show Jesus Christ and bring people into life instead of death for all of eternity? It's those people where they're like, "I'm probably never going to get an answer in this life. It's terminal. I'm done unless God heals me. But you know what? I will praise Him anyway. I know that I have heaven in front of me. I know I have eternity and glory. I know that my loved one went to be with Jesus. I'm going to rejoice even in the midst of these trials." If His grace is sufficient, can we be those kind of people? But be careful, because so often our humanity and our Western thinking equates suffering with "God is angry with me," or "God is absent," or "maybe God's not cooperating." And we turn on TV and Facebook and Instagram and we see everybody else's great life. Don't do that. You worry and focus on you, because God loves you and has a purpose and a plan. It's really arrogant to think that way. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you know what Peter says? Listen to this. He says in 1 Peter 4, may we? Thank you. "To rejoice when you participate in the sufferings of Jesus, so that you can be overjoyed when His glory is revealed." I'm supposed to rejoice when I go through stuff in life, whether it was a decision I made, whether it was something that just happened. Yeah, because it's probably a time where God's getting your attention. He cares way, what will it profit you if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? He's got to get your attention now when you can still accept and turn to Jesus before it's too late. And as believers, we're supposed to be Christ-like. That's what Christian means. And the Bible says we're supposed to gradually look more like the Son of God. We're supposed to be more like Jesus, who was perfect and deserved no suffering, because what did He do? He took you and I. He took our sin. He took your sin and shame. He took your death, your punishment, your guilt. He on the cross took that for you and deserved nothing because He was perfect, but He still suffered in this life. And so then we may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed, when He comes back, when eternity starts, when this world fades away. Listen to that. If that verse doesn't resonate with you, I want to make you think about the fact that maybe you've got too much tied up in this life. It's too much about you. It's too much about your life. It's too much about your plans. It's okay to have those things. God wants us to live. He has plans and purposes in this world. But if you're not thinking about, you know, if I have to suffer, maybe that's good because God can get glory. And one day His glory is going to be revealed. And because of Jesus Christ, I get to be part of that. If you're so wrapped up in this life, whether you're in the meantime or not, it's time to pray about that. It's time to repent from that. That this world is not our home. It is temporary. It is falling away, and one day we'll be gone forever. But those of us in Christ, one day the glory, what He has in store, amen. So, Paul, back to Corinthians. If you don't know his story, maybe you're a guest. Paul was a real person, a real guy, of course, like the Bible's completely true. We know that, very historically accurate. Paul's a guy who lived about 2,000 years ago, and Paul wasn't a Christian. Paul was a Jew. And basically, the Jews, what happened was after Jesus Christ came and performed all the miracles and went to put to the cross and resurrected and seen and witnessed by so many, and Christianity started after he went back into heaven. Paul was a Jew, and the Christianity was, I won't use the word cult, but that's what the Jews saw it as. They saw it as these now Jesus followers who said the Messiah has come and here's what happened. And Paul was not a Christian. He was a Jew who actually was persecuting and being part of murdering and imprisoning these Christians. He was not a Christian at all. But then Paul was on his way to Syria, and he had an encounter with the risen Jesus. And so Paul then, after experiencing Jesus, it changed his life radically, just like it will ours when we experience Him and surrender to Him and say yes. Paul was changed, and he was the first ever church planter and missionary and evangelist. Paul was all of those things. So it's at this time that Paul's doing all this work for the kingdom that this thorn that we read about comes. That's when this happens. And so you're thinking, man, why God? And Paul, how easy would it have been for him to say, why God? Whatever this thorn was a big deal. It hindered Paul traveling, planting churches, evangelizing, preaching God's word. And so how could that have made any sense to Paul at the time? Read verse 7. It says, because of these surpassingly great revelations, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Now, we don't know what this thorn was, but I can tell you that the word given to me in the Greek is pronounced like adophe, something like that. And let me tell you, I was given a thorn in my flesh. The original translation of that, what that reads as, is given something in that context is like being given a gift. It's the equivalent of being given a Christmas present or an engagement ring, ladies, or a set of diamond earrings from your husband. Don't get any ideas, gals, but stuff like that. And so it says that to say that this is like given to me as in this is a wonderful thing. What? Paul, who's doing the Lord's work, who loves the Lord, he's given this awful thing, and he's like saying, no, this is incredible. But see, Paul was mature enough to say, hey, this is not a curse or a problem. He recognized the spiritual warfare that was going on, and you and I need to be able to do that as well. You need to recognize when this world happens, when stuff happens, good, bad, to be in tune enough with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus in your prayer life, in your fasting, time in the Word, to recognize the spiritual component of what happens in this physical world. That when stuff happens in this fallen world, there's a spiritual battle going on. If you're going through something right now and it was your own doing, it was just your own doing, but God still wants to redeem, restore, heal. But if not, you're like, why? Recognize that's a spiritual thing. You can choose, as Paul did, to say, hey, this is for good. This will increase my reliance upon God. When people see how by God's grace I react to this, God will use that in a wonderful, powerful way. Now, Paul never actually tells us what the thorn is. It doesn't really matter. Could be migraine headaches. Anybody ever have migraines? You're just laid up in bed and you can't even look at light, whatever. We know from other passages that Paul had some eye issues. But whatever it was a health problem. And guys, 2,000 years ago in the Middle East, it was a lot. Having a health problem would have been a lot worse than now. Paul couldn't go buy Tylenol, okay? Paul couldn't go to CVS. Paul couldn't go to the convenient care. Paul couldn't get Advil. A health problem back then would have been inherently more debilitating than a health problem now. And you know, we know how much it is when, if you've ever had a horrible knee or when you're sick with the flu, you think you're going to die. Just think about having a health problem. And Paul gets this, and Paul's like, I think Paul's response tells us a lot. Verse 8. Paul says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. So here Paul gets this, and he's not blaming. He's not questioning God. He's not saying, why me? He's not saying, I'm not going to serve you, God. I'm not doing any more church planning or evangelism work because life's too tough and it's not fair and I'm going through this. My goodness, what if Paul would have done that like some of us do? We wouldn't be sitting here today. And Paul pleaded with God, God, take it away from me. And I don't think Paul said three prayers. I don't think Paul came to the altar three times with Pastor Micah, which is a good thing, and said, can we take this away? I think this was like three seasons of life. I think Paul pleaded with God. And I don't think Paul did what some of us do. If you've ever heard this expression, I hate this. Well, you know, maybe if you'd had a little more faith, pray a little harder, God might have healed you or healed that person. I hate that. Faith is not a lever we can pull. God is not a Mick God and you cruise along and then boom, life happens. I'm getting on my knees now. Well, that's good that you are. And God may answer. God heals miraculously. God does all kinds of incredible things. I can say amen to that a million times. But just keep praying and just stay faithful and just worship harder and fast and consecrate yourself and be more spiritual and be in church more. And here's a great one. Serve. Get the focus off yourself. The enemy loves when we're focused on... Have you ever met someone who's just so focused on them and every conversation goes with them and they're always talking about what's wrong with them and if your kid got an A, theirs got an A+, and me, 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 and I this and I that. Do you like being around that person? And that's not what God calls us to be. He calls us to reflect Jesus, to glorify Him, to pray for others, to think of others ahead of ourselves. And Paul, here he is doing that. He's doing his ministry. He has this thing. He's pleading with God. It doesn't go away. And what does Jesus tell Paul? And what's He want to say to us today? He says this. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Now, how many here want to be weak? Any men here, you want to be weak? And don't raise your hand like you're super Christian. Yes, it's the right answer. I don't want to be thought of as weak. Don't mistake my meekness for weakness. That's right. But how Christ-like is that? God coming to earth in human form, going through life, going through the temptations and trials, going through the loss, going through the hurt and heartache, going through the humiliation of being beaten. Here He is. He knows He's God. Save yourself if you're really the Messiah. He was quiet. He had such love for people and care for their souls and lives that He did whatever it took. And guys, if you're going through in the meantime this morning, could you just say, I count it all joy? Could you just say, His strength is made perfect in my weakness? Men, can you be weak? Can you let the insult go? Can you love your wife when you think she's acting a little strange? Seriously, can you give your kids grace? Women, can you give your husband grace when he's acting a lot strange? And you're just at your wit's end with him? Be weak, be meek. Turn the other cheek. Just an incredible verse. God is saying, hey, here's the deal. When I am more and more needed and you are less, that's good. He's saying that, as the Bible says, He's saying that you should decrease and He should increase. He's saying when things are good, the Bible says He won't share His glory and you and I shouldn't want any of it. He's saying, I am strong, you can be weak. Just as Jesus died to give us life and that we may have life and that we can and will live, He is strong so that we can be weak, so that we can be humble, so that we can stay broken. His grace is enough. Paul, nobody, and you know what God is saying to Paul? I love this. If you're half asleep or worried about lunch, get with me now. God is saying to Paul, Paul, think about this. Nobody knows who you are right now, Paul. There's no social media. There's no CNN or Fox News or MSNBC. There's none of that stuff, Paul. Nobody knows who you are but Paul. If you will stay with me, if you will stay faithful to me, if you will trust me, if you will just go through this and count it joy, and if you'll have this attitude and you'll keep on even in the midst of it all, Paul, one day millions, no, billions of people, Paul, will know who you are. People will name their sons Paul. The church in Hoopston, Illinois in 2016 will have Galatians, Ephesians, and Philippians and Colossians if you'll stay faithful, Paul. What if Paul would have done what we so often do? I give up. I can't handle this. This is not fair. Why, God? Why am I going through this? Or maybe he would, you know, we stay faithful, but we moan and complain so much. We might not be sitting here. I mean, God's church would have went forth, but what if Paul had done that? Paul never knew how God was going to use him. He just knew that God's power was made perfect in his weakness. He just knew it, and he stayed faithful. He said, Paul, and if you're going through this morning, he's enough. What difference can be made for the kingdom? What difference can be made for eternity if you'll just stay faithful, if you'll just stay positive, if you'll just hang in there and endure, if you'll just trust God, if you'll just forgive that person, if you'll just turn the other cheek, if you'll just continue to say, I can't wait to see what God's going to do with this. And someone might look at you and know what you're going through and think, what is with them? And you can say, Jesus is with me. He is for me. He is not against me. He loves me. He's working this for good. This is a light momentary affliction. I have an eternity of glory ahead. There's a testimony. Forget the Jesus fish on your car. Forget the Jesus t-shirt and cross, and those are good things. There's a testimony, Christian. When you delight in insults and you're nice to that person anyway, there's a testimony that can bring God glory. And look at verse 9b. Look at then. This is, I just love it. Paul says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Jesus' power may rest on me. I will boast in them. Guys, just remember, whatever you're going through today, it's for God to get your attention. It is bigger than you. It is bigger than right now. It's bigger than how you feel. It's bigger than the world who says, if God's good, why are you allowed to go through it? Why did that happen if God loves you? Oh, I know He just does. Let me tell you why. I don't know, but He's God. I don't know. I'm human. I'm sinful. I have a teeny brain I use 10% of. Quiet, Carla. I don't know. I really don't. But I know that He is God and He loves me and He is good and Jesus is my Lord and Savior and I'm following Him straight into eternity. Whether I keel over today or live a great life or suffer or whatever it is, I'm following Him straight through because He's the one who died for me. Oh, that's what you tell Him right there. That's boasting. I will boast all the more gladly so that Jesus' power may rest on me. That's amazing. That is written under the inspiration of God, plain and simple. That's just unbelievable. Verse 10. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight, Paul says, in weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. If you have never given your heart and life to Jesus, or if you have fallen away from Him, or if you're living in sin, or you're not in God's Word, or you're not serious, and Jesus is not the Lord and Savior of your life, do you want to be able to delight when you're weak, when you're insulted, when you're going through something, when you're persecuted, when life's tough? I can't imagine that. You can have that. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. Joy, patience, gentleness, self-control, long-suffering, patience to go through and endure things. That's what life is like when you live it with and for Jesus. And if you're missing that this morning, man, you are missing out. If you've never heard me say this is something I usually say on a personal level. If I could say to you the greatest joy in my life of knowing Jesus, it's when I get that phone call from that crazy person. It's when I get that text. It's when life is happening. It's when somebody's mean to me or my wife or my kids, mistreating, being untruth. You know what? It bothers me, but it doesn't take away my joy and peace. I trust God. He's going to work it out. I'm going to stay calm. I'm going to love. I'm going to try to do the right thing. I'm going to pray about it. I'm not going to let my joy be taken away by the spiritual battle of this world and the people in it sometimes. That right there is probably my greatest thing in testimony personally, besides, of course, being forgiven and going to heaven, not hell, and all that kind of stuff. But day by day in this life is that stuff like that. And I used to be the most excitable, angry, ill-tempered, competitive, get-even, have-to-win kind of person that existed. And if you struggle with that and can't not pop off, and it just, I can't help how it bothers me and how I feel and it drives me nuts, get on your knees and pray, Lord, take that away. Give me your peace in all circumstances. Help me to look at people, and when people act like that towards me, I look at them with pity of what their heart and their mind and their life must be like on a daily basis. And I'm not saying I think I'm better than them. When people act that way, it's like, they just don't know Jesus. They don't have that privilege. I think sometimes we need to have more faith of a little child. We need to be just so much more broken, humble, ourselves to the side. You know, let me tell a quick story today. And listen, you guys know people, and I'm not that person who, like, they love to tell stories about their kids and everything on Facebook is about their little sweeties. I'm not that guy if you know me, but I'm going to tell this story. Now, my wife, bless her heart, is wonderful. She likes to tell stories on our kids. She'll tell them. She'll post it, and that's okay. That's good. Our kids are all right. I mean, they're special to God and special to us. I don't think they're super special. A lot of that epidemic in the world, too, of helicopter parents and their kids are never wrong and that kind of stuff is just garbage. We tend to err on just the other side, which is we're going to toughen our kids up. But I was out with Isaiah this week and out at his little garden out here. And this is his first garden, he'll tell you. This is his first time farming. And we're out there this week, and we're watering some stuff. It was early. It was Saturday. It was yesterday morning. It was early. We went to breakfast. We're watering the garden. And he's like, Dad, there's mounds. That stuff's not coming up. And Dad, that over there's not growing very good. And the pepper plants, some of those aren't coming up. You know, he could have said all that, but he didn't. And some of that was going on, you know. But we're watering. I'm like, all he does is he's like, Dad, one of the pepper plants had a pepper on it. And instead of focusing on all the pepper plants that didn't and the stuff that wasn't coming up, and listen, this little boy prays about his garden. I mean, he's like, trust me, he's at home, he's praying, God bless my garden, and he's praying for God to make this the best garden ever, and it's so far not looking that way. But instead of focusing on all that, the Bible says you must be born again, you must have the faith, you must be like a little child to enter the kingdom. And listen, I don't care that it's my son, I care that he's part of our church, and I love this. We're out there watering, he doesn't complain a bit. All of a sudden, he's like, Dad, look at that one pepper. He's like, look at that. He goes, Dad, isn't God amazing? Seriously. Guys, that we would live our lives that way. Not, this is what's wrong. This person said this. This isn't fair at my job. This hurts. This is what happened. That we would find something good and say, isn't God amazing? Mm-hmm. Oh, that we could just live that way. What an impact we would have when we walk out of here. If we could have hearts like that, would you guys stand with me this morning? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? I want to ask about where your heart is this morning, because you can have a perspective like that. Some of you right now are going through things. You can't see a light at the end of the tunnel, but you can find something to praise God for. You can find something to be thankful for. Some of you, it's your job, it's your kids, there's an illness, there's a diagnosis, there's a situation, it's your marriage, you just don't see light at the end of the tunnel. But what if you would start finding something, one little thing, and saying, isn't God amazing? Because I'm going to guarantee you guys one thing, that garden's going to grow. Check with me in a couple weeks. God honors that kind of childlike faith. Embracing the troubles of this life in this way, like Paul did, will bring God glory. It'll bring power into your life. It'll bring peace and purpose. Jesus in the garden had his in the meantime moment. Think about that. He embraced suffering for you. He embraced death for you. He embraced and took on sin, your shame, your guilt, the death you deserve. And in the garden, he prayed, God, could you take this away? I don't think I can do this. He did that for you. And he goes on in Matthew and he says this, if you're in the meantime this morning, if you're struggling, if you're going through it, Jesus said, just come to me when you're tired and weary and when you have heavy burdens, I will give you rest. Take me upon you. Let me teach you because I'm humble and gentle at heart and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear and the burden I give you is light. Jesus is saying, I took this on for you. Guys, if you're here this morning and you don't know Him, if you just need to pray, if you're going through the meantime right now, if you've got someone you want to pray for, if you're in the middle of it and feel like your joy, your purpose, your contentment, your whatever isn't where it should be, I'm going to invite you as we sing to come and pray. And if you're here this morning and think that that means necessarily you're going to get that job tomorrow and get healed today and these are going to be all ironed out immediately, maybe. But maybe not. But let me tell you where you can be in life. That is a great, great place to be, praise God. Is that when you realize and understand that Jesus is enough. That He's your reward. He's your answer. He's your way. He's your life. He's the relationship you're looking for. He's who you will be with for all of eternity. He is your purpose. He should be your identity. And if none of that's true today, you can have this joy, peace, purpose, forgiveness, freedom, understanding. And let me tell you one other thing this morning. Is if you're going through it, it's not just about you. It's not just about today. Hang in there. If Paul had given up, if Paul had said, forget it, we wouldn't have the New Testament. We wouldn't be here. Your life, what an impact you can have when you say, it's not about me and all these comforts and just this life and just right now and how I feel and what I want. But God, use me. It's bigger than me. Because you guys know how God works and how these things tend to go. When you get to that point and that purpose and that plan, the Bible says when you seek Him with all your heart, when you seek Him and His kingdom and His righteousness, all these other things will be added. He tends to bless you with those things. And that's why I don't care that it's my son and not yours. It could be anybody. That garden's going to grow. Because he's like, just praise God. It'll be all right. I'm so thankful. One pepper. Hallelujah. Don't you want to live life that way? You can, but only in Christ. Only when you give it up to Him. And I mean give it up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, as we sing to You, let's not focus on the words or the music or the song or anyone else in here, but God, speak to hearts right now. Speak to hearts that need to respond to You. And Lord, I pray that we'd respond and we would come and we would pray to You, the God of love, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. And Lord God, there'd be a victory this morning of someone who's just so wrapped up in the monotony and the garbage of this life, Lord. That if there are those here this morning, Lord, who are just, they can't see their way out because of their sin, or they're tired, or they're sick and tired, or they're bitter, or they can't forgive, or they're just tired of not living abundantly, or they don't know this peace. God, would You reveal to their hearts and reveal as we might pray together that You love them. There is light. There is hope. There is life. There's forgiveness. There's freedom. There's purpose. There's perspective. It's bigger than right now today. But right now today is when You've given us to respond to You. And I pray that our hearts would respond in Jesus' name. Amen.